This morning, the readings present to us a description of communion. In fact, the readings insist upon communion. We have to then ask ourselves, what is this communion which St. John speaks of explicitly and our Lord speaks of implicitly? Communion is the oneness of love in which God lives in Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From this knowledge of the Trinity, you and I know that our God is not a lonely God. He is never alone. He is three divine persons in one God. And we call Him our Trinity, the Most Holy Trinity. And so we see in our notion of communion that it has its origin in God. It has its origin in reality. We were made for communion. Everything was made by communion for communion. And in that communion of God, we see the perfect communion of love. Imagine, therefore, the human family after the fall. We could not describe that human family as a communion of love, could we? Quite the opposite. For we see that man had rejected God, and he now found himself trapped in a hopeless and destructive state of alienation. Alienated from God, alienated from from others, alienated from himself, alienated from the natural world. The exact antithesis of the communion that God had created him for. Fortunately, we know God did not abandon man. Out of his goodness, God came among us. That he entered the prison in which we had placed ourselves, in which we had locked ourselves and thrown away the key, from which we had no escape. He entered into that. He became one like us, as the letter to the Hebrews says, like us in all things but sin. Jesus came, sent by the Father, on this mission of redemption, to set us free, or to bring us back to communion, to reunite us with reality, to reunite us with ourselves, to reunite us with each other, to reunite us with God, to make us that which we were meant to be, relational creatures in holy communion with reality, in holy communion with the Father. However, we know that Jesus forces no one. He came to set us free. He did not come to drag us into communion, kicking and screaming. He came, one, to make it possible, and two, to call us to that communion. It is an invitation to communion, which will be accepted by many, but not all. And certainly he's speaking of this in the gospel. Those branches which choose to remain in Him, and those branches which choose to not remain in Him. And He presents it in the gospel as our choice, where we will live, where we will remain, in whose communion we will be. If we will choose to accept His call to be in communion with Him, to truly immerse our life in His, so that His life can be immersed in ours, so that we can have that communion of love, just as the Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father, so too He wants to share that communion with each and every one of us. And so we must ask, how then do I enter into that communion with the Father? How do I enter in communion with Jesus? We have that answer for us in the second reading from St. John. He makes it abundantly clear. Whosoever keeps His commandments lives in God, and God lives in him. Now, obviously, it's not merely our action, because St. John goes on to say that it's made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, he does say that it has something to do with our actions, choosing to keep the commandments or choosing not to. We remain in Him by keeping His commandments of love. by pondering His Word. Jesus says that it is His Word which prunes us. So we ponder His Word, and we then apply it to our hearts, letting it dwell richly in our hearts, as St. Paul told the Colossians, or pondering it deep in our hearts, as the Blessed Mother did, as St. Luke tells us. Either way, allowing His Word to inform our decisions, to inform our thinking, to root us in the Father, so that we may always seek to do what is pleasing to Him, so that we could actually love Him and be loved by Him. In everything, we must be guided by humility, for as Jesus tells us, apart from Him, we can do nothing. Now, we hear those words, and if we're filled with arrogance, as is so easy, we hear that and we say, well, wait, I can do a lot of things. Jesus, you're wrong. But if we're doing it apart from Him, it is doing us nothing. It is not helping us to get to heaven. And what more is there than to get to heaven? What's the point of anything if we don't get to heaven? It's all nothing. And I think our Lord is trying to remind us that in our arrogance, we can think that we can do a great many things, but if we're not doing it with Him, it profits us absolutely nothing. And so we see that Jesus invites us to commune with Him, and He tells us how it is possible, and He calls us to that communion. How? For what reason? One, so that we might live. Jesus says, whoever does not remain in me withers. And He does not want you to wither. He wants you to have that superabundant life. That secondly, that not just so that you may live, but He says, so that you may be fruitful. Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. God wants your life to be amazing. He wants your life to be filled with fruit. And of course, we could think, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Patience. Who doesn't want patience in their lives? Well, God wants to give you that patience. He wants you to have that fruit. Gentleness. So many, go through the list of the 12 fruits and say, I want them. Well, God wants you to grow them. And He says you can grow them when you remain in Him. The privileges of remaining in Him, therefore, are manifold. We get pruned by the expert Father who knows what he needs to do so that He can accomplish what He desires. And we know that He desires that we will be open to His Spirit, open to the Son, so that we can produce those choice fruits. He says also that He desires that our lives will therefore give Him glory. As the church fathers would say, the glory of God is man fully alive. And thirdly, when we remain in Him, we receive the benefit of the Father granting our prayers. Sometimes I have to wonder, how can we expect God to answer our prayers for grace? The grace to do this, the grace to do that, the grace for whatever. When we don't avail ourselves of the sacraments by which He gives us grace. I say, Lord, make me more patient. Lord, make me more this. But I don't go to confession to get rid of my impatience. I don't go to confession to get rid of my anger. But I say, Lord, take away the anger. Like, I sometimes wonder, how am I? It doesn't make sense in my mind. Finally, our Lord says, when we remain in Him, we truly become disciples of our Lord. Working as St. Paul did, and we hear about it throughout this Easter season, to further the kingdom of God on earth. For the call to communion is universal. And that is why we describe our church as one holy Catholic, which is universal and apostolic. But the call is not heeded by all. Those who do not answer the call, those who are not ready to accept the conditions of entering into communion, namely keeping the commandments, they exclude themselves from communion with God. To express this desire for communion with us, God uses the analogy of sacramental marriage between a man and a woman. Just as a man forsakes all other women, and the woman forsakes all other men, so as to enter into communion with each other, so too, or in the bond of marriage, so too we must forsake all other gods in that bond of communion with the Blessed Trinity. And we can be thinking to ourselves, well, of course, Father, I haven't worshipped Thor in a long time. Or, you know, I have no desire to worship Apollo and Jupiter and those other, like, Roman gods or the Greek gods or the Egyptian. Like, of course I reject all other gods. But I think it's a little bit more maybe esoteric than that. Pope Benedict once listed 4 modern false gods, which may seem odd because they aren't what we traditionally think of false gods, but Pope Benedict suggests that the power of anonymous capital, by which men are tormented and even slaughtered, where we see men, people, as things we can use to achieve the greatest good of money. He suggests another false god, the power of terrorist ideologies, which do violence in the name of God. But this is not God, he says. This is a false divinity. Or third, he says, the power of drugs, that, like a ravenous beast, stretches its hands over all parts of our lives and destroys. Or he says, fourth, the power of a way of life promoted by public opinion. That we say, today it's done this way, regardless of the past. Or marriage doesn't matter anymore. Chastity is no longer a virtue. So on and so on. We can all think of the power of public opinion. These 4 things, Pope Benedict suggests, are more than just ideologies. He says they are so dominant that they impose themselves upon us as a false god with the force of a divinity. And we must choose to alienate ourselves from them so that we may choose to be in communion with the true God. Be part of, as Jesus says, I am the true vine. Are we attached to the true source of life? Or are we seeking to find life in money, find life in terrorist ideologies, find life in a life of escape through drugs, find life by living vicariously through others, following the ways of the world or that public opinion, however you want to phrase that last one? Just as the communion of love between a husband and a wife is exclusive, so too our relationship with God must be exclusive. We cannot be dallying in these false gods. We cannot allow them to be the object of our worship. No. The reality is that if we are unwilling or not ready to enter into true life, to remain in Christ and His church, then our Lord is telling us, then we are separating ourselves from the vine. And we are withering away. My brothers and sisters, we see evidence of this around us, do we not? But also, in humility, let us look to our own lives and suggest that even if we see evidence of people around us who are dead, that perhaps there are branches on our life, which, as our Lord says, need to be pruned. Perhaps we see evidence of this even in our souls, in our lives. For anyone to pretend that they are in communion, despite their refusal to prune away these false gods, would be to deny that our response to God's invitation through Jesus is essential. Do not deny your dignity. God has given you a free will. He wants you to use it. Don't pretend like you don't matter. Jesus says you do. And so you can choose today to remain in Christ. Choose today to let the Father prune your vine so that we can bear great fruit, so that we can share in that communion which is the ultimate source of all reality.